everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. It's been a while. We haven't heard about the vaccine at all. It used to be the main subject on the internet, but the pro-vaccine people have been shutting down. It seems that whatever money Pfizer was throwing at this, it had an expiry date, and suddenly everyone stopped talking about the vaccines. But the evidence continued mounting, and eventually the anti-vax people were kind of shown right by the developments, and now they are withdrawing one of the vaccines. Now they kind of use this vaccine as their fall guy, like, oh, well, it's just this vaccine, and it's just a rare side effect. But the rare side effect is the exact side effect that seems to have been causing trouble in all other vaccines, and it uses the same technology. It is the thrombotic events, the thrombocyte events, the whole blood circulation problems that were fatal in many cases. And it's like, okay, so you know that these people have died because of your vaccines. How many people out there are suffering side effects that are sub-threshold, that they say, oh, you know what, I want to investigate if it's the vaccine, if it could be. People are shutting up willfully. The liberals are so pro-vaccine that they won't even tell you that they think it's the vaccine that caused it. So we end up with a big lot of silence around vaccine side effects, and the censorship industry went totally into this. But now we have official decisions that people would argue against in debates 2 years ago. Like, now your company has told you that their vaccine isn't good. It's going to be hard to reconcile within the brain of normies. I don't expect them to. They don't think much, but the normie leftist, they're going to have a hard time reconciling the idea that they're currently shutting down speech. I mean, currently, they were shutting down speech for things that turned out to be true. That is the great lesson from the censorship of the medical stuff in 2021, 2022. It's that they have shut down something that turned out to be absolutely correct. Saturn Shine says, they tell people that their heart issue isn't caused by the vax. Exactly. So if you tell me you have, you know, they have the list of cases, and it's like a few hundred. I'm like, if you know about these hundreds of cases, what about all of the other cases that ended up sliding off of the system with everyone trying to collaborate in the silence, even those who were the victim of this? Death threats. Oh, this is a case of, apparently there are live streams of people who are deaf, people who are unable to hear, and so they use sign language to shit talk and show their guns and say they're going to kill each other, but they're doing it all in sign language. I will fucking kill you. Blah, blah. I have a gun. I'm trying to read sign language here. Don't trust me on the translation. I don't understand sign language, but I'm kind of, you know how sign language, they're, even if you don't know the language, you can kind of try to guess what they're saying because their movements often are evocative of actual movement. You're a bitch. You're gonna get in trouble. Look at my bullets. I have a gun, bitch. I don't give a shit.
Get my face. Be weird.
All right. I don't know what's going on here, but there are death threats. Doubting Thomas says, JF, I was going to ask about this. What is the evolutionary reason for heritable deafness? I think that irritable deafness is rare enough that we can discount it as not an evolved feature, but rather a defect of a feature that didn't totally get selected out. So I think that there's no advantage at being deaf, although there are people who are deaf and who identify in the community, and they will tell you that they kind of like it, or they kind of built an identity around it, and they would be sad to be detached from that identity. Now, yes, you know, I can think of potential advantages of the deaf life. First, if you can attract sympathy for your handicap in certain societies, that could be good. But I don't think that the advantages are, I think that the advantages are things that deaf people learn to live with, and they accept going on with life with it. But I don't think that there are systematic advantages that totally leads to this population to outbreed others. there was something about, oh yeah, there was this interesting paper about why are there no blind schizophrenics. Now, that is an interesting theory. The whole idea was, hey, you can be schizophrenic at 2-3% chance in the general population, but if you're blind, you're never going to be schizophrenic. That is an interesting statement, and I believe that it is the case, and it raises questions about evolutionary trade-offs. So if you want to see, you run the risk of schizophrenia. The brain is just that way. If you enable visual stimuli, you can get into the paranoid inventions and hallucinations, and oh, you get on the other side. You get to the point where it's a defect. So it's interesting to think that similar things could happen with deafness. You could think that deafness protects you against certain things of the world. Like, how about we go in the deaf community and start measuring everything? How many of them are LGBT activists? Maybe if you are protected from the propaganda of the current world, maybe there are certain worlds where it's better to be deaf. Like I've argued in the past, there are certain worlds, and our world is a world where it's better to be autistic. There's just too much crap out there, and so the is actually advantaged. So you could have the same argument be made for deafness, that it can protect you against a lot of bad stuff. New guy says, so schizo is located in the visual cortex or related to it? I mean, schizophrenia is not stemming from within the visual cortex, but for some reason, you know, if you free up space in the brain and the visual cortex is less busy, for some reason, the schizophrenia doesn't get to develop. Now, there are links between schizophrenia and the visual cortex. If you have a psychotic hallucination that is visual in nature, you will... oh yeah, people told me there was peaking. Hello? Yeah. Let's see if there is peaking. I will adjust my volumes here. Hello? Yeah. I think I should have handled the peaking problem that people were complaining about. Yeah. So I don't think that when you have a visual hallucination, it does trigger activity in the visual cortex. But schizophrenia, I don't think stems from the visual cortex. At least that's not the way I think of it. But it uses the visual cortex for generating imagination. So perhaps the visual cortex being unavailable, whatever other place of the brain that would trigger schizophrenia doesn't have the stimuli needed to kind of entertain these hallucinations. Or perhaps it's a case where schizophrenia is due to a too compacted brain. And if you free up the space in V1 to be used by other functions, perhaps the cognitive functions that would have led you to have schizophrenia, they move and they find a nice home in the visual cortex. All of these possibilities are possible. A Hermit M says, I'd like to study how well schizos can visualize things in their mind's eye. That is, those are very important questions, completely unaddressed. I also wonder about the schizophrenic continuum between blacks and whites, between people of higher IQ and people of lower IQ, because I think that schizophrenia, you know, of an intelligent person, you're going to see psychotic crisis, hallucination, and the person is very intelligent, capable of processing a lot, but she will completely believe the lies that she hallucinates. Like her rationality will not be capable of operating despite the intelligence. Now, when you go into schizophrenia, into lower and lower IQ, so what I just described is a 110, 120 IQ. You go into the 100 IQ schizophrenics, there's a little more shadow borders here. I'm not sure how they feel. I'm not sure if we can get access to their feelings. I'm not sure how it feels to be a 100 IQ person. It's like thinking, how does a cat feel? Does the cat see the red color just like I do? The 100 IQ, I don't fully understand. And then there's the schizophrenics with 80 IQ that end up in all sorts of criminality, violence. And very often their schizophrenia will be mixed with aggressivity issues and all. And then I'm like, is it the same thing? Is it, when we label them with schizophrenia, is it the same thing as the 120 IQ? Getting schizophrenia and really imagining a complex scene. Charles Garrity says, having a conversation with a schizo is quite interesting. Yeah, I thought that. Now, having it every day for years will will kind of get you to... you'll be satisfied. You'll be like, okay, I've done enough. I've done enough to interact with the schizo world. Watcher Guru reports, wow, that's a surprising thing. US House votes to overturn SEC rule preventing highly regulated financial firms from holding Bitcoin and crypto. So suddenly, there was a rule that banks, for example, couldn't hold crypto. And I was like, this is nonsense. Everyone's going to be backed by the solid crypto, and banks will be literally legally unable to do so. It won't count as reserves. So for a rare time, the politicians have gotten together in a pro-Bitcoin decision. That is stunning. That is stunning. But in a way, it's a pro-bank decision because it's letting the banks accumulate crypto. Now, that should be a good news for the market because there will be no way for banks to guarantee value outside of some investment in crypto, at least. Saturn Shine says they have to try to ruin Bitcoin. Yeah, it will come, of course, with more players in the crypto world. That kind of sucks, but I mean, the best case scenario for crypto is to let it be corrupted and to cash out at some point that you determine. Now, it's your philosophical preferences, whether you cash out in 3 months from now or in 30 years from now, but there will be inevitably a fall. There will be a point at which crypto is not what it is now. It won't be a product of revolution. It will be just an accepted standard, and it will be out of your control then. But I mean, you always want to take the ride with the big players. You like the best investments are when the whole of society is going for something and you're already there. So that's where we are at with Bitcoin, in my view. Vitaly keeps generating these pedo catch a pedo episodes. Here they use a woman who's 24 years old, but they make it so that in the chat with the guy, she said she was 15. And then the guy says, well, she said she, on her dating profile, that she was 21. So basically, you have a multi-layered deception here. So to catch pedos, you have to go on dating websites. So, but if you go on dating websites, you have to say you're an adult. So she lies on this. But then she tells him the truth in DM. I'm 15 years old. He says, oh, well, it's okay. Now, apparently, this guy is a Jewish producer of the movie, believe it or not, Space Jam. What was Space Jam? I don't even remember. Was it with Magic Johnson and basketball players? Were there even Looney Tunes playing? Anyways, he's made a couple of children's movie. So that gives you an idea of the kind of old producers that hang out in Hollywood and out of Hollywood. Vitaly is... I can't believe that he's not been arrested yet because... Oh, Michael Jordan. Okay. And there was music. I remember music. I've seen this movie when I was young. Well, now the producer of it is a pedo.
Your name?
Oh, fuck.
What's your name?
Who are you?
What's your name?
Who are you?
Why are you suing my fucking daughter? What's your name?
Rick.
What is your name?
Boris. My name is Boris.
Boris. What's your name? Shake my hand.
What's the problem?
Why are you suing my daughter? You know how old she is?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
No.
The fuck you thought was going to happen here?
Nothing. We're going to have a pizza. I don't know.
Pizza? Yeah, you don't know? How old is she?
Brad.
I met.
You know how old she is?
I matched with her. She was 23.
23. Is that what the conversation looked like?
You remember the text messages? She was 23 on a dating site.
On a dating site.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, she was 23 on
how
a
old
dating
is she?
Site. I have no idea.
Lila, how old are you?
15.
I'm sorry. She was 23 on a dating site.
So, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't have much legal value, but it's for the entertainment that they do this at this point. Vitaly is the new catch a predator guy of his generation, and it's happening on Kick streaming. Kick streaming has been more edgy, more willing to do stuff that's risky, IRL. Now, you know, sometimes Vitaly, in some other clips, there's a random guy that comes in and hits the guy. Now you're stuck with assault problems. You create a situation where someone gets assaulted because you accuse them of being a pedo. There are other cases where we see them being spread with powder. It does seem like at one point Vitaly is going to get arrested for this. And this guy may not even get arrested because... he can always argue, well, on the dating side, she said she was 23, so I came to check.
All we've done is
so
talk.
She didn't tell you. She didn't tell you how old she was.
She did.
She did.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She said she was 15.
How did she tell you how old she actually is?
She said. Oh, she
now this guy just admitted that he did see her DM saying she was 15.
15.
She said she's 15. Why? Yeah. Why are you here? Why are you sitting here?
I'm just having a
with a fucking 15-year-old.
Having a pizza.
Piece of pizza with a fucking 15-year-old.
It's not against the law.
You think that's
law.
Okay?
I think it's not against the law.
It's not against the law.
No.
Is that all you spoke about to her?
Well, it's not against the law, but to have a pizza, but clearly you had other intent. You were on a dating website talking sex online with the chatter.
We've just been talking.
Really?
Yeah, we've been talking and flirting. It's not a big deal.
Where are you going?
I ordered a pizza. I'm going to go.
Okay.
Now, he has to be careful because if he blocks his exit physically, he is kidnapping him. So that's why he uses language. He says, where are you going? In an aggressive fashion. So he can argue, well, I didn't tell you not to go. I was just asking, where are you going?
Have a seat. Have a seat.
Why?
I'll sit with you. I'll eat pizza with you.
Now, he says, have a seat, I'll eat pizza with you. All of those are tactics to create a plausible deniability on a kidnapping charge. So, oh no, I was just offering. If he wants to eat pizza, we're gonna eat pizza.
He's having pizza, right? Sorry. Sit right here. Sorry. Sit right here. Sorry. Where? I don't know. Whoa, excuse me, sir. Excuse me.
And see, he doesn't touch him. He waits for him to enter in contact with his hand. And then he says, oh, excuse me, excuse me.
You want to kiss, touch, and lick, whatever?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. It's just weird. I don't understand what people
say. So you're a pedophile trying to meet a 15-year-old. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. It's not a boy. It's a girl.
Whoa.
Now they powder him with blue and pink.
Yeah, you are.
Wait.
You need to hear audio.
Look at this guy. Clown. All right. Let's go. Yeah, I'm going to say.
So anyways, he gets away and there's a bodyguard coming. Kick streaming is another world. I don't know. I think that they're not open to free political discourse. I think they're actually banning people for relatively mild statements. But somehow this still survives. End of the line, Joel says he was looking for some space to jam. Okay. Low Mercury Tuna has sent a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under your Odyssey chat. If you don't see the dollar button, go add a payment method in your account. The show needs your support to keep going every day. Low Mercury Tuna has sent $3. He says, are we witnessing peak Jewish power? Is it downhill for their influence and prestige from here on, or will they regain their former status? If Trump wins, will mass deportations actually happen? Well, on the first question, I think that we are seeing the beginning of the end for the age of Jewish glory in America, in the American society, because you have a rising generation that is informed on questions relating to Jews, and you have Jews that have seen a first rise of a kind of a counter-Semitic force on the internet. And so the Jews of the next generation will be a little more silent about the fact that they're Jewish, and the non-Jews of the next generation will be a little more aware and noticing. So that's not looking good for Jewish power as a whole. Now, we're not talking about super short term. Super short term, you're going to keep getting the flow of money. As long as they have the flow of money into America, they will keep America enslaved, and that can still last decades. But then I believe that the Jews are ready to migrate. And so when that happens, what I expect is a massive defamation of the society that they leave. So they're going to massively defame and crash the U.S. economy if they do leave. Now, if they do leave, there's going to have to be an entry point in some other countries that offers them the opportunity of coming in with convertible value, that is cash or Bitcoin or whatever. It's been like this. Jews have been have been leaving one civilization for the next, carrying their value in gold, diamonds, or money, or stock market investments. And perhaps the next time it's Bitcoin. People are asking, what kind of society would that be? Well, Philip Fabry has the hypothesis that it would be... That it would be an Asian society that liberates itself, that becomes an open market capitalist society. So he's thinking China, he's thinking... What if there's a revolution in China, contesting central power, fragmenting China perhaps, and then China becomes this kind of open place where lots of liberty can arise because central power is so concentrated there it would be a one-shot thing to abolish. So a small revolution, eventually at a weak point of China's history, could do this. I think it's not impossible. He also suggests other Asian nations around that would be already capitalist. Someone listed Korea in the chat, perhaps Japan, Taiwan, whatever. So, yes, for the Jews to leave America, there needs to be another place. But once there is this other place, you will see a massive transfer of economic activity, a massive conversion away from the U.S. economy into that new economy. And I think it's going to be a hard hit, because our economy, although I do consider that our economy has massive value without the Jews, our economy has learned a dependence on the Jewish systems of capitalism. Not that they are the authors of capitalism, but they are a bearer of part of the value, and a large part, especially in politics, donations, etc. So I think it's going to be experienced on the U.S. side, perhaps in 10, 20 years from now, if they do leave, as a massive depression, a massive economic depression. But I think despite the local and temporary suffering that it could cause to have a massive devaluation of everything in America and a kind of exodus of at least the Jewish component of power, money, I think ultimately it would be a very good event. I think the long term recovery that America could be on would be one where they can take control back of their media. They can take control of their religion, of their demographics, and finally subtract the Israeli Zionist influence onto the government, which would allow a kind of normal democracy to flourish in America. All of this is lots of ideas and lots of dreams. I don't know for sure that it's going to happen, but that is what I calculate. The Jews have rarely stayed in one place, in one society forever. They've always switched, and there will have to be a switch. Real Base Talk says, I still say they go to Ukraine and take poor white women as slaves. That is another possibility. The Jewish rabbi collaboration with the Ukrainian rave whore, that is absolutely possible with the genocide that we're seeing, basically the slow genocide by feeding the front line that Zelensky is operating. That could totally happen. Now, your second question was, if Trump wins, will mass deportations actually happen? Well, I would like to tell you yes. I would like to tell you cheer with my side of politics and tell you, yeah, it's very likely. Trump is very decided this time. It's true that Trump, when he took control of the U.S. border, there was much less illegal immigration. So I think he's certainly going to improve the situation. Now, if you're going to see 20 million people be deported by planes straight from the heart of sanctuary cities in America, that I have a doubt, because one thing that we learned with Trump is that he delivers something, but he under-delivers on his promises in general. So the sad, dark-pilled view, black-pilled view of this is to tell you, well, Trump, Trump is a loose cannon. I mean, he's the definition of a loose cannon in so many ways. Like being a marketer in New York, that's exactly where you expect the biggest bullshitters to rise. And his entire life is just putting a label, a marketing label on stuff. Trump, T-R-U-M-P, in big golden letters. They told me that those were the biggest letters they've ever done. That is a loose cannon of the marketing world, and it's not surprising that he has half and half often not met the promises at the size that he does, because that is who he is. He is a man who promises and then who scores still good, but not as good as you would have hoped. Saturn Shine says, people will clap when the leftists go after him after another presidential term. I think the leftists are after him right now for one reason, to block him from another term. So I think that basically, paradoxically, Trump, after a second term, will be harassed less, not more, because the leftists are going to have dealt with their Trump derangement syndrome. They're not going to be on the constant fear of a coming fascist dictatorship. So yes, the AstraZeneca has pulled their COVID vaccine after admitting rare side effects, as I was telling in my intro. Okay, so you know of all these hundreds of cases, you know that many of them, a large portion, have died. My question in front of this graph is, I'm absolutely certain, in fact, it's not even a question. I'm absolutely certain that this graph doesn't capture the reality of what we did, which is we killed a lot of people by the tens of thousands, big minimum. Because, okay, you attribute this thromboembolic event to the vaccine. What about all these old people who don't have anyone to advocate for them? What about all these leftists who want to shut down, push under the rug the idea that, oh yeah, maybe it's the vaccine? What about all those uncertain cases where, I don't know if it's the vaccine, maybe, maybe not. And most importantly, we're talking about thromboembolic events. We're talking about the very thing that people have raised alarms about on all the vaccines, not just the AstraZeneca. Blood issues, heart issues, blood paralysis, blood clotting. It's always been around. There's something really wrong about the whole idea, and it's not even the particular RNA vector, because these vaccines differ in various ways as to how they will administer the spike protein. But there is something fundamentally wrong about the idea of equipping human cells of your muscle at some random spot here, equipping them with the genes of a virus. That is what I take away from the COVID vaccine big experiment. It's that, I mean, the fact that this even creates any sort of immune reaction is kind of surprising, given that it's just a bunch of fake genes thrown into your cell with the hope that the pockets of fat will bring them into the cell, and that your cell will be functioning to produce, not only produce them, but expose them at the surface of their cells. And now you are directing the immune system against your cells, because it's your cells that has produced the spike protein. How does that work? How is this even working for a month or two? I don't know. Because when I was young, when I learned about the immune system, I've been told that the body has a system ensuring that the immune system doesn't attack your cells. Well, it does seem that this method relies on wearing the spike protein onto our human cells. So not surprising that people end up dying from all sorts of things, and we only have the tip of the iceberg in these documents. Nick Fuentes has been speaking about the Tim Pool drama with Jake Shields. Very good answer. Basically, his position is, I don't really care about all this. I don't care about being invited on Tim Pool, but there has been there has been lies told by Tim Pool. Tim Pool has been developing excuses for why he doesn't invite Nick. And ultimately, Nick says, I just wish Tim Pool would say it. Come out and say it. I'm not inviting Nick because I'm on YouTube and I sold out. And I love what Nick mentions about, you know, at some point you have a choice. If you sell your soul for YouTube and you accept the censorship, eventually it gets inside your mind and it shapes how you think. And you don't allow yourself to think about certain things because you, because immediately your creator reaction is, oh, well, I can't make a video about this, so I might as well not think about it. Now you've modified the entire rational system of thought inside your brain. And now your show is less and less relevant to the real world. And it's more and more in line with exactly what YouTube wants. That's what's so dramatic about censorship. Also, Nick Fuentes today appeared live on Alex Jones. I've been watching the episode. It was chit-chatting, nothing important, but good performance by Nick. Here we have Ann Coulter telling Vivek Ramaswamy that she wouldn't vote for him because he's Indian.
Oh, and I agreed with many, many things you said during, in fact, probably more than most other candidates when you were running for president, but I still would not have voted for you because you're an Indian. There is a core national identity that is the identity of the WASP, and that doesn't mean we can't take any...
Saturn Shine says, is she a man? Ann Coulter is a thin woman, but that's because she suffers from a disease of conjunctive tissue that leads her to be unable to accumulate fat. And so you may see certain features of her face as weird, but she's just a very skeletic woman because of a medical disorder.
Anyone else in a Sri Lankan or a Japanese or an Indian, but the core around which...
Well, a Real Base Talk says, didn't she date an Indian? That was the comment by Nick Fuentes. He called it the Coulter's Law, which is, if you're brown enough to have sex with Ann Coulter, you're too brown for her to vote for you. Oh my God, that is a nice lot. That is a nice lot. It seems I've seen Infinity when because I'm doing math all day these days. I'm trying to solve conjectures, and I saw this Coulter's Law. It's beautiful. It means, like, could you be just brown enough for her to vote for you and have sex with her? Like, maybe you'd be a pale Indian or a tanned white. We don't know if this space exists. We don't know if there is a level of brown that would fit the two standards for Ann Coulter.
The nation's values are formed.
Also, Defenestrator says it's the guy who made the documentary on vote stealing. Are you serious? She dated... what's this guy's name? She dated this fucking clown. Oh my God, this guy is annoying. He's one of Dinesh D'Souza. This guy is fucking annoying. Oh my God, I love Ann Coulter so much, and I hate Dinesh D'Souza so much. I can't imagine them together. I didn't know that was true.
Is the WASP. We've never had a president who didn't have at least partial English ancestry. Never.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that that's an interesting tour through that historical lane, but I want to pick on one point you said, which is citizenship, right? Let's talk about what does it mean to be a citizen of a nation. And it's interesting, if a lot of people trip up on this, they'll say, well, it means what you get, right? Do I get to vote or do I get some other claim? And that doesn't really work. Actually, if you look through most of American history, for example, women were citizens long before women could vote, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not about what you get. In my book, and I think that this is true with the American conception of citizenship, I think it's true of the Roman conception of citizenship, is it's about your loyalty, actually.
Yes.
To whom do you actually pledge loyalty? And so I think you and I share that in common, actually. I don't know, I've never asked you this, Dan, but I assume from seeing the things you said, tell me if I'm right about this, you're probably against the existence of dual citizenship as a concept. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
You and I share that in common.
Outrageous.
It's incoherent. It's not just outrageous. It's incoherent. It's oxymoronic. How could you possibly have a loyalty to two different nations where the essence of citizenship is which nation to whom you had your undivided loyalty? That's what the essence of citizenship is all about. So you and I agree on so much there. But where I wouldn't say lose you, but I may fail to fully understand you, is on that axis of citizenship, what does ethnicity have to do with the matter? And I think you'd be well served, and maybe this could be a great platform for you to do it, to make the case.
Well, it's quite simple. Ethnicity matters because it's predictive. It's predictive of your behavior, of your capacities, and of the whole of society. Compare all societies headed by Black people and all societies ever headed by white people, and you're going to get the quantity, the differential that I'm talking about. And it's not random that you are in America, you came to a white country, you wouldn't have come to this country if it had been headed for 200 years by Black people. That is the relationship between ethnicity and leadership.
Case for why that, what you put it, WASP basis for the American identity, how is that relevant against a backdrop of which you got the WASP seventh generation descendant of some rich guy on the Upper East Side in Brooklyn that pretends to hate this country because it's the cool thing to do, versus somebody who came here as the kid of immigrants? But
even that liberal cuck in a rich area who's done nothing in his life to deserve anything, even in that man, there is more hope that he could be in line with the task of heading a nation like America than the average Black person.
Pledges loyalty to this country. If loyalty was the axis for citizenship, aren't you actually committing a bit of a sin, reverting back to a conception of citizenship that has nothing to do with loyalty in the first place?
Well, I will say many of those seventh generations WASPs I definitely hate. I know we have a lot of really, really bad ones. But like I said, anyone can adopt this. I guess what I just said, if any of your children marry a DAR, I would definitely vote for them for president. It's not so much, it's more, president is different. You have to be natural born, as you know, which, by the way, Ted Cruz is not, basically on because of what you were just describing. Where is the loyalty? So ambassadors' children born actually in the United States are not natural born. But that's a total sidebar. I've gotten
that's actually not a sidebar at all. I mean, the fact that ambassadors' kids born in the United States are not citizens is actually an overlooked fact. If a kid of an ambassador from Mexico does not enjoy birthright citizenship, neither does somebody who's in this country.
Okay. So they get into this detail, which is true. It's a demonstration that we can allow that the 14th Amendment was not intended to give citizenship to any physical person on the territory. Silver Spider says it is, but we have people like JF now. We didn't have that free media at all during Vietnam. Yes, that's true. There's been progression, but you know, I'm looking at the world and it's advancing like slowly through sludge. I feel that we're taking three steps forward and then two steps back. You look at what the Tim Pool show has become with its censored opinions and there's a branch of guests we're not going to get. How is that different from cable TV? It's a club. It's just another club. He created another club that opposes itself in appearance and superficially against mainstream media, but in the end, he became mainstream media himself. RFK Jr. says doctors found a dead worm in his head after it ate part of his brain. We even have a picture of the worm here. Apparently, it is sentient. This is totally New York Post. I don't think it's an actual picture of the worm. RFK Jr. said doctors at first thought he had a brain tumor. I think it's just one possible disease you can get this, but I don't think it's what he had. Sentient worms were fucked, says new guy. But yeah, they take this from a divorce proceeding. By the way, this whole divorce proceeding, they serve nothing but to give the rumor mill to people. You know, they didn't need to know about this worm to assess whether RFK Jr. has parental rights. And we shouldn't know about this worm now, but we know because of someone went to dig into his divorce proceedings. We have to abolish family courts, abolish divorce proceedings, and simplify this system. It's absolutely ridiculous. It totally invades your privacy. Now you have these public documents where certain truths may be true, certain truths are totally false, and you have journalists able to report them. Autism Capital says this is what peak teenage performance looked like. Nero 6 Ultra Edition. Copy, backup, burn, edit, author, capture. if you're like me from the era of CD burning and DVD burning, you know about Nero. We had this whole software suite that was allowing us to have different formats. Oh my God, the days of the physical media, I miss them. It was something special. And if you were like me in a village that was kind of backwards and not necessarily as connected to technology as I was one of the only few who had access to this technology, who had the programs, who had the burners. And every time we were buying a new computer, I was insisting with my parents, we need to get the ones with the burners. I can't believe that burners have totally disappeared from our lives. And it looked like nothing. There wasn't a declaration of death. In fact, they made the Blu-ray, and they had Blu-ray burners at some point. But then, no one bought the Blu-ray technology. No one got interested in it, and the physical media just disappeared. Ultimately, it's a greener world we live in. It's healthier for the environment because, my God, we would stack columns of CDs. We were wasteful. We were kind of wasteful in what we were doing. Saturn Shine says, you should always have a hard copy of something important. I agree, but then what is important in life anymore when you can get all software instantly, always on torrent streams, and everything is so accessible that people are kind of assuming that it's always going to be there. But when we were young, we weren't assuming. When we had downloaded something with zip files and .r01, .r02, we were putting them on disks. We were more decentralized in a way. We were more acting like the internet is not trustable. And these days, people act like the internet is trustable. And as such, we have abandoned a lot of control to what survives, to what's still out there in the world. people are mentioning Nero burning rum. I used it for almost 20 years, yet it took me 10 years to get the name. I was so young. Yes, Nero burning rum. That was one of in the software suit. I guess there were others also. Saturn Shine says, remember floppies? I do. I remember floppies. I had stacks of floppies. We were backing up our Windows on floppies. Like, okay, Windows 3.1. You need 6 floppy disks to, to back up the Windows. Oh my God. Unbelievable. And they were just disks, magnetic disks. And we were putting very little amounts of data on this. John Drake says, I think Walmart has just stopped the sale of DVD this year. Yeah, it's now a thing of very, you know, if you're going to get a DVD of a movie, very often it's on sale. It's old movies. But the world has moved on. Another Trump trial derailed. Fanny donating judge's decision to keep her on RICO trial under scrutiny by appeals court. Man, I'm so tired of this harassment of Trump. This is such a dishonor for the legal profession. It's like now when everyone knows you're bullshit. You're just a bunch of clowns making these circus trials according to political preference. Still, no one is investigating Joe Biden and his son for RICO violations. There's much more evidence that they did. And we have this spectacle being put up. I hope that it all crumbles. But even if it crumbles, it will have accomplished its purpose, which is to tire out Trump, to make it harder for him. That's what's sad. There's never a payback for this. All of the money and time that Trump will have wasted defending against this crap, he should be reimbursed hundreds of millions of dollars, in my view. Stray's channel says, I remember how frustrated I got when people called the 3.5 floppies hard disks because they came in rigid plastic shell. Okay, that was your frustration. You were an autist with that specific frustration. Okay, I can understand. I have my own things that frustrate me. Creditors of bankrupt FTX to receive as much as 142% of what they are owed. Now, again, this exposes the big scam that is bankruptcy, these shark agencies that take over your company. They just, it's your company, but oh, suddenly it's their company. Because they went to see a judge, and even sometimes they argue they have to act in secrecy to take over your company quick. Normally, this was a process meant for a dead company, completely dead, to just take over the assets and satisfy the people who are owed something. But they've developed this into a whole business of hostile takeover. And now, they came to this FTX and they took it over without asking the question, hey, maybe they do have the money, maybe they do have the funds. And now, because of the rise of the price of Bitcoin, you end up having people who are in a bankruptcy proceeding of sorts that will be reimbursed more than what they had at the beginning. Now, it's not more Bitcoin. It's more money as measured at the moment of seizing. But it does raise major ethical question. What is a company in bankruptcy? And there are abuses of the legal system in this domain. It's unbelievable. You have lawyers. They make a fortune being paid by the dying company, the so-called dying company. And very often, it's their very lawyer fees that are bankrupting the company. So these takeovers, whether it's in the corporate world or whether, like I've seen in my life with probate takeovers, the whole idea that, oh yeah, someone else can take over your liberty through probate court by arguing that you are mentally unwell. This is super dangerous, and it's not being done carefully. Takeovers are dangerous. They threaten the rule of law, and they're being absolutely subject to corruption and parasitism. Anyways, the three reasons people hate Trump, last news item for tonight. In my recently published book, Dissidently Speaking, Change the Words, Change the War, I use both logic and empiricism to prove, I do mean prove, that there is absolutely no such thing as right-wing, left-wing, as we use the terms in this country. They are nothing more than non-defined terms used to characterize and label people with whom we don't agree. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous. The left and the right are well-defined on the economic axis, and it is simply that there are people who are for a state intervention and there are people who are against. And now you can have state interventions in all domains, and it's all left-wing. And then the right-wing are those who believe in laissez-faire as opposed to state intervention. I really don't like this this dangerous semantic meddling that happens where people argue that well-defined terms aren't truly well-defined, and they're doing the same thing with sex and gender. It's all semantic subversion, and we have to be aware of it and defend against it. That is it for tonight, boys. If you'd like to support the show, go join the Patreon or the Subscribestar or add a payment method in your Odyssey account so you can send super chats in the next show. I should be here tomorrow. Much love, and we'll continue following the news, although it's going to be a calm summer, I'm sure. We have the election. It's supposed to happen in November, and as we've said yesterday, it doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like it feels like nothing is happening, but there has to be, at some point reality catches up and there has to be the political war. Well, new guy says calm summer. Well, the summer is generally calmer because there's less people producing news and less people provoking news, because everyone, there's just more vacation. So it's not going to be a calm summer because of me. It's just the nature of summers. That's what it is. Less things happen in the summer. Real Base Talk says, but will it be white boy summer? I think we're in, boys. I think you just declared the beginning of white boy summer 3.